CBA Mobile.
I think I doubled with him. He didn't hear me give my call sign in 0TR. Good afternoon, Dave. I just got a text from Phil, W4NGU, showing a nice barbecued rib dinner and a baked potato. And I told him, brilliant minds think alike, and I sent him back a picture of our meal. And we had barbecued ribs, French bread, baked beans, homemade potato salad, deviled eggs. And I had a little cottage cheese with mango and strawberries mixed in with it.
Every time I talk to Tom, he's eating. I don't know how he keeps his weight down, but he makes me hungry. Go ahead, Jerry.
David, he probably cracks the whip, makes him run everywhere he has to go. He does have to go up and down the stairs to get to his radio, one of his radio rooms. I know that, so he must jog up and down there, I guess. Tom, that does sound good. I just had a hot dog for lunch today. We got some carry-out at Skins. That's first. We're just now getting back into the carry-out business. I hadn't had enough, hadn't felt quite confident enough yet to eat indoors yet, but that may be coming another month, maybe, who knows.
Well, Skins, but, you know, Bernice don't, so there you go. And I like the hot dog shop up here north of us at O'Neill. I call it the Weenie Shop, and theirs are good. But she's not a fan of it. But we have hot dogs now, and then we had them one day this week. Well, no, I guess I just opened the hot dogs and then I brought you one outside. Wasn't no bun or nothing, just a hot dog. And go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to run in batteries plus here real quick. I'll be back in just a minute. I'll carry on KB4CBA.
Tom, the varsity in Atlanta was always, everybody talked about how good their hot dogs were. We lived in Georgia for a lot of years, and that's where both of us originally from. So we used to eat at the varsity, go get bit, but I don't like their chili there much at all. I just have a slaw dog if I happen to go by that. Yeah, they have one on Jimmy Carter Boulevard. We used to go back and forth there when Lynn's mother was so ill. We were taking the Emory, and of course, I traveled a lot and stopped in there. Theirs were pretty good, but my wife likes hot dog with sauerkraut on it. That's her favorite.
She would like that, but that leaves me out. If Mom made sauerkraut and weenies, I'd leave the house back in Kansas.
This chow chow relish stand here. And of course, my grandma used to make it herself all the time, but we found some local here that's pretty good. I put that on a hot dog. That's not like sauerkraut, but it is pretty tasty to make a mild version of it and a spicy version of it. I just eat the mild version. It's more like it's almost like a barbecue slaw or something like that. People put it on the greens, you know, and black-eyed peas here, and I'm sure you probably had it by now, too. But that's pretty good on a hot dog as well.
No black-eyed peas and no grits. We're from Kansas.
If you've been raised in here, you would have starved to death then. Because that's what he grew up on, I suppose. They just didn't have much during the Depression. But I eat grits just about every day. A lot of people don't like them. And a lot of people from the Midwest don't care for them in the Northeast. But it's kind of a staple here, of course. It always is. Sometimes they're not prepared very well either. It takes somebody to know what they're doing to fix them. Of course, I just eat instant grits, but most of the time it's hard to get enough salt in those things. So a lot of people use chicken broth and put it in there instead of regular water. And that works good. And of course, I like a little piece of shrimp mixed in with mine every once in a while as well. But yeah, Lynn, she likes sauerkraut. She likes it on hot dogs. There used to be a Sonic used to have hot dogs that had sauerkraut on them. The Orange Julius, when it was still at the mall, they had a good sauerkraut dog too there.
Cream of wheat, but I don't like grits. My dad used to get a run from Pittsburgh, Kansas to Heaver, Oklahoma on the passenger train, and I'd ride down there, and every meal come with grits, and I just never could go on. But I know it's traditional down here. And then K4SUG, he used to raise a lot of greens up there. And Tim's had them next door over here at times, and they just love them. But I can't go it, Jerry. I'll eat cabbage if it's cooked in vegetable soup. But if Mom had cooked cabbage and sauerkraut or all that other stuff, corned beef, yuck, I'd leave the house.
For me either. I don't eat greens much, just a year's day type of thing that we, just traditional thing that we do, but I'm not, I don't eat them very much, sure enough. I do like black-eyed peas and cornbread, though. And that's one of me. I do enjoy that. But, good cornbread is hard to find, too. You know, my wife makes good, it turns out really nice and light, not too heavy. And some people put a little sweetening, put a little sugar in it, and make it a little sweeter, but I prefer my cornbread just like, kind of like hush puppies. And I won't turn down a good hush puppy either time.
Oh, I'm just an old meat and potatoes guy, Jerry. Well, there's a pretty good storm out west there. I haven't looked at it again here in the last few minutes, but we got little rain here, 1500. That's about it today. Still 69 out there. I had to go out and move the grill around because the rain was misting in under the carport, and it's a big carport. But yesterday's forecast and possibility, and even this morning, possibility of high winds. If that comes through during the afternoon, they said the heating was enough to make it get a little rough.
We had a little bit of rain earlier, but that's about it. We haven't had any wind or anything like that. I was keeping an eye on my radio a little earlier today, and I noticed station pop up, and it was on D-Star. They were doing USS Midway, the April 10th is the anniversary of the Doolittle raid. They were doing that from Midway, and I believe it must have been Santa Monica somewhere in California, wherever the Midway Museum is. So I got that on my list, and they said that QSL car, they have special events just about all year. This year, I think, they had one for they've had several so far this year, and they got several more. And there's a pretty interesting thing here. A lot of people check in, have a little history of their own. But it was an interesting situation. I worked at Queen Mary several times years ago on CW, but it was just something odd that popped up. But it was interesting to hear a lot of people checking into it, even on D-Star. But I think it's going to go around about 2300 Zulu today.
Yes, I've worked the Queen Mary many, many times. We used to dock right beside it when I was aboard the USS Bennington. What else was there? We were CVS 20. I think they were 12. I'm not sure. But all the up there at Alameda, there were several carriers come in there, but I wasn't aboard ship long enough to really know what all come in there, Jerry. I got transferred out after a year and a half. And at any rate, she's up there in a concrete pier around her. And I've worked a lot of ships. The Missouri, the New Jersey. I forget. I think we flew over the Missouri when we was in the Tonkin Gulf. New Jersey come down there too, I think. I can't remember now. It's been so many years, Jerry. And I like working those special events. They're fun. But I don't know how many cards I got from the Queen Mary, but in the old days, it was quite common. But I haven't heard of them in a long time.
JP4CBA.
There you go, David. Yeah, I haven't heard of them in years myself. Of course, I haven't been on HF either, but I haven't heard of them at a special event station. But the Midway's operating on 7250 and 14320 on single sideband till 2300 today. So, down to Russia's D little rate, 41842. So, you know, it's pretty cool. I do like working the ships. And one thing I hadn't heard, though, Tom, I hadn't heard the Yorktown on anytime. I didn't know whether anybody in the Charleston area did that or not. I haven't heard anything. I've been on board there multiple times over the years. Go ahead and pick it up, David.
My battery, and I saw he had some batteries there that looked like the one I just bought from my airplane. And I realized that when I bought the battery, I didn't buy a charger, so I asked him about it, and so he sold me a charger. So I spent a little more money than I had intended to spend, but I would have, I'd have bought that charger anyway from somebody, so I just went ahead and got it.
Well, that sounds good. Well, Jerry, yes, they do operate from the Yorktown at times. I've worked it before, but I don't know how long ago it's been.
Go down there. Haven't been down that way in years. My wife and brother-in-law and sister-in-law went down there when her uncle was very ill, before he became really ill. And I always wanted to see a Brownwater Navy exhibit that was down there. I think it was down there. I'd like to say that. There's a guy up here at Liberty, I think, that was on board a PBR, and I can't remember which outfit he was with, but he was telling me some of his stories. He said it's pretty interesting the way they did things, and he said it was. He said they had a lot of activity and took on a lot of fire up and down the deep Mekong Delta.
The Yorktown, communicating with Yorktown.
Jerry was asking if they did. He's talked to the Queen Mary today, and they used to be quite common on there, Dave. But Yorktown's been on there before, and I worked the Missouri in Bremerton, Washington, just before she went to Hawaii to become a museum over there. And I talked to them on the way over there to Hawaii, and I got a card from that.
Oh, wow. Well, how do you find out what frequency they're on and what band they're on?
Well, they're not showing it on QRZ right now, and I went over to DX Summit, and I don't see it there, but Jerry knows where they're at. Go ahead, Jerry.
USS Midway, David, not the Yorktown. And the call sign's NI6IW, and they're on QRZ, but they're on today. I worked them on D-Star today, but they're on today. Today's the anniversary of the Doolittle Raid, and it's on from 1600 to 2300. I guess Zulu time, and that's there on 7250 and 14320 on the sideband.
That's check that out. That's interesting. That would be cool to make contact with a vessel like that.
And Jerry, what was the 20-meter frequency, 14 watts?
320 on single side band, and they got a 1407. That must be PSK-31. That must be radio, I guess. And they're not showing any CW frequencies at all time.
Okie doke. Well, Dave, every month in the QRZ magazine, QST magazine, they give all the special events that are happening for that whole month.
I give the QST magazine.
Tight. Boy, I'm telling you, Jerry, you can't hide money. Just look what he spent today, and then he's not in the ARRL. You need to get that magazine. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
You own HF, it is good. It's a little dated, though, but, David, you can see a lot of it. If you get on QRZ on the website, they have there's one form, and that goes, shows all the special events where people are announcing it, and so you can keep track of it that way. There are a lot of other ones that may not be listed there, but it's such an active, form, that'd be the place to check for something current, but, because... And QSD's got everything listed, you know, ahead of time, so, you know, it's always good to look at that, the contest and that sort of thing. Especially if you got, you know, since you got HF capabilities, that'd be the thing to do, because wearing those special event stations is a lot of fun, as, you know, especially if you've got a good radio, and I know you do, and got time to work them, that's a lot of fun. But that time I had worked W6RO, I think. I think that's one for the premier. Anyway, I think so. I may be wrong. But I haven't worked that thing in just been years and years, and I don't know. I don't know if they're still operating or not. I have to suppose that they are, but I know there's one guy that worked, one of the guys that's on satellite worked at his portable for the Queen Mary of satellite contacts several years back, I think.
Yeah, I've got a lot of cards from them, and you're correct. It is W6RO. You've jarred my memory, Jerry. It's been, like I said, several years. I actually got to operate the code key on the Collins rigs down on the USS Missouri when we were in Hawaii. Now, it wasn't live. There wasn't any special event or anything going there at the time, but it had a code oscillator on it. And they still had all the original Collins equipment on there. I guess it was original. And that is some ship to see. But I imagine any of the battleships are. And they do special events from all of these battleship museums all over the country. And from the submarines, I got more submarine certificates than you can shake a stick at, Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Well, y'all give me something to another thing to look at and look up. And on QRZ. So, all right. Well, I'm gonna bail out. I'm at the house and in the garage. The pony is in the garage, and I'm not even gonna wipe her down. I'm just gonna leave her like she is, and most of the time when it's time to wipe it down, because I got these claws, you can wipe it down and it washes it, you know, when it's wet, and you don't have to use soap. But anyway, 73, gentlemen, y'all have a good one. Go ahead and pick it up, Jerry, KP4CPA.
Okay, Dave, you have a good afternoon. Good talking to you. And the Queen Mary evidently is closed since the 13th of February. Looks like it may not be open back up again. I was reading online here talking about on QRZ. The ship's operating company filed bankruptcy, so I don't know when it'll come back on the air, if ever. And I say it if that's the case, but I'm sure you've already looked it up by now, but that's a shame. They've made a lot of contacts over the years.
Did you say, was you commenting on the Queen Mary?
Because it says it's closed. Queen Mary closure updated February 13, 2021. The wireless room will be closed until further notice. The recent bankruptcy filing by the ship's operating companies further complicates matters. We expect the ship will remain closed for the foreseeable future. Its closure may even extend beyond what will be a reasonable reopening date when the pandemic subsides. Didn't sound good, Tom.
TR. No, my our nephew, the one that flies 787s, he actually, him and his wife, stayed there. It was a hotel when they went out there. Oh, it's been quite a few years ago. And it was a tourist thing when we were docked there beside it. Well, I see that North Dakota CUSO party is on, too. And you don't hear many North Dakota stations. It's on 14237, it said, on QRZ.
And I think Delaware might have been hard too, but I know those two were kind of tough. Of course, the conditions were real good in those days, but you're just not. Back in the 70s, there weren't a whole lot of hams in those two states.
Yeah. W4DJW's got a good friend, Steve, that lives up there. That used to be quite common on here. Now, here's another guy posted 14255 for North Dakota CUSO party. The other guy posted 14237. I don't know. I don't have any antennas hooked up down there. There's a pretty good sized storm to the west of us, and it's coming this way. I don't know how much severe stuff we'll get, but hey, it is headed this way.
Take a look at that. I've got my iPad up here on the radio, but I hadn't seen what the weather's looking like yet. But it's just dark here. We like said, we ain't got much in the way of rain, but if it's headed this way, we don't have anywhere else to go today. That's good. And you been out today anytime? You been staying and keeping your head low?
No. Put together a raised bed garden out there. We bought a couple of big 2x10s, about 12 foot long, and helped Bernice with that, and helped her. Last night we moved some grass over to where there was what they call it, pampas grass, where we dug that out. Boy, don't ever plant that stuff if you don't want to remove it. And we planted grass there, mowed grass yesterday, and it's looking beautiful. But today, not so much. Went out and messed around with the smoker and the grill, and Bernice put the ribs on out there, and she did some gardening. I went out and fed the chickens and watered them and got 3 eggs and come back in the house and mounted a carbon monoxide detector. And, messed around with something else over there, but I can't remember what it was right now, Jerry. This is your OTR.
Pretty busy. Tell you, folks, since you're talking about your chickens, we went down to the garbage dump today. We had our kids and grandkids over yesterday. The grandkids stayed with us most of the afternoon, so we ate here when they got back from the lake, and of course we had empty all the garbage and went down to the dump, which is only about a mile from the house here. And when we were going down, I saw about a half a dozen guinea fowl out there just go moving along the road, picking bugs up, seeds and whatever. And I don't know where they came from or where they were going to, but there were five or six of them just going along the side of the road like vacuum cleaners. I got kind of a kick out of it. Those things, I know people years ago, they used to keep them out in the country because they were just like having a guard dog. Whenever somebody come in your yard, those things would just raise game. But I was curious on your raised beds. Do you put cloth on the bottom of it and put your peat moss and a mixture on it, or how do you set yours up?
She didn't put anything on the bottom of it. We just put in topsoil and then some of that, peat moss and that Miracle-Gro, some bags of that mixed in with it, and then she tills it up with that little mini tiller she's got, Jerry.
Got one that I've got the stuff to build one with. I never have done it because just because we've been busy with other things the last few years, but I may do it sometime, but I got plenty of room to put one out there, but, you know, I don't know, between the squirrels and the birds, I'm afraid they'd eat anything I planted out there, heat it up. But I know I had a book called Square Foot Gardening that told how to do everything, the mixture you use. It sounded like it, once you get them started, I think they're really a good idea because it seems like that the soil stays in good shape. You don't have to do a lot to it after you've grown them, after you've got your vegetables that you're putting, after you get them up. You know, the soil stays in pretty good shape from what I understand. But they were talking about putting this black cloth, you know, stuff to keep the weeds and stuff out of it. But I didn't know whether that was. That seemed like that was a little bit overkill to me. But again, I'm not a gardener. I just like to eat them.
She uses that in her flower gardens, I know, Jerry. But the grass, it'll grow right up through that. I know I have to go out there and be very careful and try to round up it, because if you try to pull the grass up then, especially that fescue, you'll just pull that black stuff up with it. But we've had real good luck with the raised beds, raising tomatoes in them. More so than just out in the garden. Now, the strawberries out there are just, wow, they're loaded with blooms right now. But again, the problem there are snails, and they're hard to kill. And the other problem is the birds like them too. And if you put that netting over it, it's a pain in the butt.
Dead one. You know, when he was still doing gardens, when he was living, we had a little back lot back behind our house that they bought from a neighbor years and years ago, and he built a two-foot-high rock wall along the line back there, and he would plant his strawberries along those rock walls, and he could just drape the netting over that to keep the squirrels and the birds, and it worked out real well because it's a little easier to get to, but they still get some of them, Tom, but, you know, having to learn something there to hold the netting up and, you know, just be able to flip it over, it was a lot easier to get it on and off than trying to build some system to hold it up, like a bowl or a bent stick or whatever you use, some type of support to keep the netting off everything, let them so they get enough air so they don't mold.
Yeah, it can be a real pain. So I don't know if we'll put any of that out there again this year or not. But I like my strawberries, and you just can't keep birds out. And the rabbits were getting in there, and occasionally a turtle. And the turtles I can keep out. But we got a little garden with strawberries in it. And Bernice planted other things there, peppers and cabbages. Limited amount of success, but I wouldn't never say we had a great garden there, but the raised beds, we had more tomatoes than we could ever use.
Don't need enough of that stuff to work, because every time if you plant three tomato plants, you're going to have enough tomatoes for three families until they quit producing. I just go down to the farmer's market a few miles down the road and pick up a tomato or two, because it's just the two of us, but we don't do any canning, preserving, anything like that. My parents did a lot of that when I was young. We had a cannery up just above the house, maybe about 2 blocks, I guess, is really on the grounds of the elementary school I attended. And they did all the canning, and, you know, they had the vacuum packing and the whole deal for the cans. And I can't remember whether the lunchroom lady did that or maybe one of the American Legion folks or somebody did that. They just ran it during the late summer and fall, I think, Tom. And I also had a deal up there where they had one of those pecan shellers, one of these big ones that did the mechanic ones. They do shells. They shell your pecans for you for so much per pound, that sort of thing. But I guess those things have gone by the wayside. People do that on their own now, but, you know, see, it's just a little community thing, basically, I guess.
Aren't good for your colon and all that, but I still love them.
I'll just take and eat them raw or put a little bit of cottage cheese on them. And, oh, man, I always liked the big boys, but the celebrities are a real good variety, too, and the beefsteaks. So I think that's what Bernice is settling on. I'll have to tell my neighbor that we'll give him some tomato plants. He's got a pretty big garden. If he ever gets done working on that car that he's rebuilding now.
I guess it's the people. We don't like the one slice because you don't have much seeds in them. You know, we don't have, neither one of us have any signs of diverticulitis or anything like that. So we, but I stay away from sesame seeds and stuff like that anyway, my age. But I like the one slice, or one slice on a, one or two slices on a, on a, on a piece of bread, does it? Just some salt and pepper and a little bit of mayonnaise and fresh bread, and that does me just fine.
Back on the farm, she said they'd eat tomato sandwiches. Or mayonnaise sandwiches. They was poor, Jerry. Anyway, Jerry, I got to get off here. I'm starting to hurt from sitting too long. I really enjoyed visiting with you this afternoon. And Bernice got her new dishwasher put in yesterday. And, I met a real nice guy from a little bitty town up here that come out and installed it for Costco's from, what was the name of that town Todd was from, Bernice? Todd? Where was he from? Campobello, that's what it was. He said, if you blinked real fast, you wouldn't even know you went through it, Jerry. Well, I better let you go, and you take care, my friend. We'll talk to you later. Into DJC, I think it is, or in 4 DJC. This is N0TR. I hope I got that right, Jerry.
Good talking to you, Tom. You have a good afternoon. Get moving around a little bit. It'll help with that. Sitting in one place too long ain't good for any of us. Take it easy and talk to you maybe a little later on or tomorrow for sure. N0TR, N4DJC clear. 73, Tom.
73, Jerry. N0TR is clear. TRT for now.
KV4NC.
Well, Gabriel and Jerry. Well, I'm getting out of this chair. I'm beginning to hurt too much. Gabriel was going to go downstairs and see if I can find something to do down there. I've seen a couple of stations here. I might hook the antenna up. I guess we got some storms coming in from the west, though. How you been?
Pretty good. Quine and I are working on doing some remodeling at the new QTH, but we've been good. Yeah, I hear something that is in making some straddles down west. Don't know exactly what, but it looks like we're going to be for a little ride.
Hello, Gabriel.
But, we get it. I mean, that's what it is.
As Rusty says, it is what it is. Well, I hope y'all have been doing good. The kids are doing good. We're okay up here, and not anything new to report. Haven't been on the HF very much lately at all, because there hasn't been very much on there at all.
It has been up and down, a lot of noise, strata caches and everything, but we do what we can. Anyways, Tom, I don't hold you more, because we still have a little bit more to do over here. But I hear you, and I want to say hello to you. Say hello to your wife, and talk to you later. One of these days, I'll stop by to see you. It's your TR. This is KV4NC73.
Okay, Gabriel. Well, it's great to hear you. The pleasure's all mine. I haven't heard you in a while, and used to travel quite a bit. Anyway, I think I'll go see if I can hear this North Dakota QSO party that I keep seeing pop up here. I don't need it, but it sounds interesting. You don't hear many people from up there. That's about like working the Yukon. 73 escape room. This is N0TR, and talk to you later.
I wish I can deliver the chef here, but Jesus, I mean, I've been starting with 5 or 15 and still driving, so it's kind of rough. I do move a little bit, but not that much either. 73 stop. Till next time. KV-46, clear.
VHM. Jerry, are you still out there?
N0TR for a short one. Bill, you still there?
Yep, I am. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I gotta get up and move, but other than that, I was gonna go and visit my neighbor. He wanted me to check something on his 80-something Buick Regal he's redoing, and he's gotta have a positive wireless hot while you're cranking. And so I was going to take some meters over there, but he was under the car doing something else, so I didn't. Well, what's the weather like down that way? You getting anything rough, any wind or anything?
Okay, getting rain. We've got, I looked at my weather station a few minutes ago, about 3/4 of an inch of rain, very light wind, no thunder, no lightning. It's on Weather Underground. If you look in Hartwell, you can find the weather station. But it's just steady rain so far.
I just brought up the WYFF 4 Doppler, and it looks like there's some pretty heavy stuff just to the west of you right now, Bill. It's red and orange there, and it's coming at you, and it's not far.
That won't be too bad. I just put up a new Accurite weather station. It's got the wind and the barometer and rain and all that, so I've been watching it. Watching the weather radar on Weather on the Ground, but I'll look at Channel 4 and see what Chris Justice is saying. But I always know it's going to be rough.
You're cutting out now, Bill, but yeah, I got one of those and three different displays for them over the years. I've had a couple of them I just wore out. I like them, and they're real reasonably cost. Those Davises and that are out of my pay grade, but I like these Accurites. They just come out with a new one that looks even better. I'm showing 68 degrees and 2943 on the barometer. We've only had 1800s up here, and we got no wind right now virtually. It's southwest, maybe gusting to 4.
Right now, like I said, it's pretty calm and just a little wind, very mild. By the way, on that power supply the other day, I figured out what was going on. It was my computer speaker making a hum in the background. I hooked it back up inside and played around and figured out it was the computer speakers. Go figure.
It was the computer speakers, is that what you said, Bill? Great. That's great. Those triplets are, and I'm pretty sure that's what you said you had, those are good old power supplies from the old days. I like my Astrons nowadays, but those were good ones. I've only worked on one, and I fixed it, and then later on I sold it. I think I've sold maybe, 3, 4, 5 things on eBay in my life, and that was one of the things I sold, and I probably should have kept it.
I try to hang on to my radio equipment. That power supply was left over from the old CB days. I repurposed it, using it well now.
about them, though, it's not like these switch modes. If they break, you just throw them away. Those you can fix.
Power supply, no doubt. And it's a full 36 amps, so it drives the radio without any problem.
Well, I was looking at that radar again, Bowersville. It's right square in the middle of it, maybe just past there, coming towards you. And I don't see any purple in it, but I see a lot of red. Yeah, that's a good old power supply, and I have several Astrons. I was running when I first started out, TS-140 Kenwood, and I had a 20 amp supply on it, but it was flat topping some of my audio. I got a report from a knowledgeable person one time, and you really need at least 25 amps for a 100 watt radio. It was my contention, and so I went to 30 or 35, whatever that one is down there. And that cured all of my problems, and not anybody else had not told me that, but this fella, Archie Meeks, he just passed away not long ago, he told me that. So I got it corrected, and that was back in the days where I didn't have the money for the 30 or 35 amp one. It was good to have the 20.
You have to start small and build up. That's how you get a collection of different parts and pieces. That's what I've been doing, and I've got extra radios here and there, talkies, you name it, as I've been in the hobby.
Some of the CB stuff, like the power supplies and that, was good, but some of their amplifiers were just totally horrible. I never owned one, but I had a buddy who had a 600 watt one, and he could block out all 23 channels with that thing there in town. Splatter, 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 and he had it hooked up to a Browning radio. Boy, it has a good radio, don't get me wrong. On a Moonraker, which already had like 22 dB of gain, and then he put that amp behind it. And the fight was on. You get into it with a lot of people over that. Anyways, he was totally blind and stepped on a landmine over in South Vietnam, and so we made a lot of exceptions for him, Bill.
We need to respect and take care of those who have sacrificed for us, that's for sure.
Well, you have a great day, and I hope that weather doesn't get tough down there. I'll turn the other radio on a little bit and listen. I'm sure any weather reports are welcome to anybody up here. We'll talk to you down the line, and it's great to hear you today. 73, before, that, burn it. Got something on my ear here, distracted me. I think it's N4WHN, N0TR. Sorry about that, Bill.
All right, Tom, you have a good one. 73s. We're getting part of that storm now, so I'm outside on the carport. I'm going in. This is N4WHM. I'm clear.
Go TR, get in 4UBG. How you doing, Tom?
Doing all right, Kevin. I'm trying to get out of this commander's chair here. I got a lot of pain in my back right now, and I need to move. But good to hear you, and glad you got that radio problem squared away.
I ain't in that vehicle. I'm actually in my work truck. I'm right here passing exit 66, Highway 29, toward Welford and Lyman here. Coming back from Chesney, I had a gate call at public storage a while ago. I had to go fix it for them. I'm on 24-hour call until 7 a.m. next Friday. So I have to run it for 7 days. So it ain't too bad. I get 3 hours double time minimum, from the time I leave the house to the time I get back, that's 6 hours. So I've been gone for almost 3 hours. At 17:40, I'll be gone for 3 hours exactly. So fixing to come up on 290 right here, and I'm gonna get off on 101, skedaddle down 101, and catch 417, and take it back towards Simpsonville, come out and pound in over there, and I'm going to the house.
Out there, it is Saturday, and there's a lot of them. What should we call them? Mental midgets out there on the road, and just be careful, Kevin. And it's good to hear you. And I was on call for 32 years, 24 hours a day like that. And I'd get 4 hours straight time, or if I worked over 2 hours and 40 minutes, I went on time and a half. So you did better. You're doing better than I did. Kevin, I got to move, and I might catch you in just a little bit. This is N0TR73.
Well, Tom, N0. Man, I don't forget the call sign now. N0TR, KN4UBG. Well, you have a good one, 73, and I'll be clear.
Yeah, just always remember the last two letters are my initials of my name, but if you could remember the T, that's a Tom, and then it'll key it on down the line to the R. All right, see you later, Kevin. In 0TR's clear.
73.
R Y U K. Mobile. I always remember TR as travel address.
Easiest way to remember, that's how I got it just a second ago. I'm just having one of them days, man. I've had my brain out there trying to scatter my brain and trying to do my paperwork and stuff. Man, there's so much stuff that we have to do on the cell phone to send paperwork in when we finish with a job and different things, and just trying to get that done and get it sent in, and it's one of them things you just want to pull your hair out. It ain't like taking a picture and sending it, it's just, you got to put in there everything, you got to put the work order number in there, you got to put like public storage, and I got to put the number in of which store I was at, then I got to put in there complete, I got to save all that stuff, and it puts it into like a PDF file for me. Then I click onto that PDF file, then I have to go in there and share it with Comm Service and Greenville, and it'll actually save it to the computer system, and that computer system will actually put it out there to all the branches worldwide. Anybody can see everything I can do. And that's like a while ago, I was getting ready to leave the jobs out, and the guy texted me and said, what was my ETA? I never texted him back because I was taking a picture of the gate trying to send everything. And right when I got done, I called him and he said, yeah, he said, I can see you. He said, I can see you. Sam Sarah, that you was on the job site getting ready to leave, talking about my camera on the window. I got an onboard camera. This thing stays running the whole time and it tells them everything about this truck. Tells them how fast I'm running, tells them if I stop too quick, if I take off too fast, go around the curve too quick, I mean, anything, everything, this thing, tattletales on you. So, he could see me a while ago, and that was a good thing.
Need to take some of that money invested into making the truck tattletale on you and do the automation for your reports, where all you have to do is click a couple boxes and they take care of the rest of it for you. Maybe a tablet, they go with the truck.
I wish they would do all that. They're talking about going to tablets and stuff and making it a little easier for us, because these little small screens on these phones, I mean, they're just not what they cut out to be. And, it really makes it hard on us trying to sit in the parking lot and do all that. You got to write the paperwork out, take a picture of everything, and post it all into that PDF file. It makes it a little easier to send it that way, but when you can't really see the writing in the bottom, so it really makes it hard then.
That up to a tablet and stuff. I tell my wife, never do business with your iPhone on the web. You never get to a website and do business with your iPhone because a lot of these websites are not set up for a phone. So a tablet would make sense. It wouldn't cost that much if they got to automate that on a tablet. Neither. You figure you get an Android tablet, $100, and spend a couple, maybe $100,000 having the software developed. And I'm not sure how many tablets they need, and you figure $100 for a tablet.